message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because your word is true, your word is light, your word is life. Now today, again, our hearts and our minds are opened to be educated, to be instructed, to be taught, to be led. We receive your word with meekness, we set apart every superfluity of naughtiness, and we declare the truth we're going to hear today. We're going to bear it in art. We're not going to act beside ourselves, but we're going to act in line and bring forth fruit of righteousness. In Jesus' name, and this church will shout,
amen.
All right, 2 Timothy 3:16. Oh, these guys already know. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it tells us that one of the things that the word of God is profitable for is that it is profitable as an instruction manual for righteousness. Instruction manual for the life of God that we got. That means when you read the Bible, all right, you will see that God's word can give us instruction on how to live the best way to live the best life. You see, he's giving us a life to live, and the word of God can give us instruction on how to live that life in the best way to yield the maximum result. You see, a life that is not of productivity does not interest God. It doesn't interest man as well. It doesn't help nobody. You see, God doesn't want us to remain on one level for too long. It's not God's desire. God's desire is productivity. God wants us to be fruitful. And when you read the word of God and you see some amazing things that are said in the word of God about you and about the believer, when you place it side by side with the experience of many, you begin to wonder, listen, you will almost want to be tempted with confusion. Because the word of God says A, and many people who are believers are experiencing Z. So you wonder, why the disparity? So you wonder, why the disparity? I mean, for instance, if you read scriptures like Proverbs 4 verse 18, the Bible says, but the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just, the justified one. Okay. Romans 5 1 says, therefore being justified by faith. So I've been justified. So that means my path ought to be shining more and more. That means for the believer, he ought to get deeper. He ought to get stronger. He ought to get better. Can you shout amen, somebody? Alright? So you see, and just like today's devotion I was telling us, don't you normalize abnormality. Alright? You see, you have to have a right perspective to how God wants it to be for you. So question is, if you look at all these wonderful stuffs in the word of God about a believer, so why is it so totally diametrically opposed to the experience of so many? I mean, for instance, in the book of Psalms 34 verse 19, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalms 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Then drop down to verse 22. Look at what he says in verse 22. He says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. None. Are these words true? Can we trust the word of God? Look at this. 2 Samuel 22, I'm going to show you another scripture there. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. Look at what it says. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. He says, as for God, his way is perfect. That means his ways, all right, are predictable. God is not mysterious in what many people call mystery. That means inability to tell, all right, okay, all right, his ways are past finding out. People call scriptures like that. His thoughts, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's even the wrong context, but that's not a teaching for today. But the point is, God is not mysterious. It can be understood. In order not to make you think he's mysterious, is one of the reasons why Jesus came. Jesus is God in the flesh. Everything you need to know about God, when you study Jesus, you know God. He is the explanation of God. He is the perfect imprint of God's personality. Hebrews chapter number 1 verse 3 tells us that he is the perfect imprint of God's personality. He is the mind, the will, and the intention of God. In John chapter number 6 verse 38, it says, I have come to do the will of him that sent me. That means everything you see Jesus do is the will of God expressed wholeheartedly. And Jesus was not broke. He was not poor. He was not living a sickly life. Are you hearing me? He was never caught unaware with any situation. If that is true, then that ought to be your life as well. Believe it. Don't believe anything less. And you've got to be careful. You know, these are mental models. There's a way you can be going through things until what you're going through becomes your mindset. You've got to be careful. Don't let what you're going through define life to you. You have to realize that what you are going through that is not palatable is not God's will for you. And that is the first step in living by faith. Because faith only works, and in fact, faith begins where the will of God is ascertained. And for your information, you've got to know this, faith is not a coping mechanism. No, faith is a divine tool to effect a desired change. Are you hearing me? It's not a coping mechanism like, well, just coping, 10 years, 20 years, still coping. Stop that. That ain't no faith. Faith is not something just to keep you, you know, keeping you in good attitude while your ship is sinking. Glue, 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 glue. No, that's what hope will do. Faith will make you levitate over the ship. Faith will make you levitate over the sinking ship. Faith to make you walk on water. Say loud amen. Amen. That's faith. Faith is not a coping mechanism. Mm-mm. Faith is a divine tool to effect a desired change. And if it's going to be any change you desire, all right, it's going to be by faith. You see, I want to share with you today, all right, certain things that we find Apostle Peter shared with us, all right, on the things that we need to act. So if faith is this powerful, so why does it look like a lot of people are defeated? Why? In some areas of their life, why? 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 Now I begin to talk to the Lord about this. Now I found this thing in the Word of God. Because you see, I'm a faith man. I preach the word of faith. Psalms 18 verse 30. These are beautiful scriptures you read and you like, can the word of God really be trusted? Can we trust the word of God? I mean, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. Look at Psalms 12 verse 6. He says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. In other words, you can trust the word of God. Is this true? If it is true, then there's something we're missing out then. If it is true that faith works, trusting in God works. So if I'm not getting the expected result, then something is wrong somewhere. Because the life that he's given me is a life of victory. The life that he's given me, he told me my path is like the path of the shining light. And the path that he's given me, all right, supposed to be the one that shines brighter and brighter. So if my faith is not working, there is something missing out. I've got to be honest and be sincere that there is something I'm missing out. If I'm coping on a situation for too long, listen, faith, I repeat, is not a coping mechanism. It is a divine tool to effect a desired change. Are you hearing me? So if I'm not getting desired result, there is something I'm missing out. So I got to find out what that thing is. And bless God. God's word never leaves us without express instructions. about our faith. Oh, I love Christianity. I told you that the Christian faith is a faith with objective instruction. You cannot be left indifferent. You cannot be left confused. You're going to find instruction in the Word of God to fix. Maybe you need to take your faith to a clinic and then work on it. I'll make your faith work, because faith works all the time. If you never walked, it wasn't faith. Quote me anyway. That's what the Bible teaches. Faith works all the time. So Apostle Peter helps us see something here that we need to add to our faith. I want to begin a four-part teaching with you today that I've captioned, "If these things be in you." If these things be in you. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. Oh, glory to God forevermore. I want us to read together in unison as a church, everybody. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. 3, 2, go. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If these things be in you, they assure you fruitfulness in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And verse 9, look at it. Verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. That means he lacks vision. Can't see nothing. And look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Listen, so that means it's possible to be a Christian and never fall. It's possible to be a Christian and never fail. I can never fail. I can never fail. That's the only way. I mean, listen, it's possible. Listen, look, David never lost a war. Think about that. David never lost a war. Never for once. Think about that. I mean, so it's possible to live a victorious life by faith. So he tells us, he says, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Boy, listen, look up, everybody. Do you believe this thing you're carrying about, this thing you call Bible? Do you believe this thing? Come on, talk to me. Do you believe it? So, there are things that if they are in me, and they are in abundant measure, I will never fall or fail in life. Look at it. It says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren. That means if these things be in you and abound, if they are in me in abundant measure, they make me that I will neither be barren nor unfruitful. So question, what are these things? There are six of them. What are these things? Oh, glory to God. Did I say 16? There are several of them anyway. Seven, I guess. Seven. What are these things? Okay, so let's back off a little to verse 1. Let's begin from verse 1 so that we can know and get this thing. What that Apostle Peter is telling us. Are you with me today, this church?
Yes,
sir. All right. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, which with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he is talking to believers. They've received righteous, they've received the precious, they've received the common, a like precious faith. Then he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, that is, of Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, when he says, through the knowledge of our God, and the word "and," they have told you, is not a conjunct. It doesn't mean grace and peace multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, and that is apart from God, of Jesus Christ our Lord too. Nope, the word "and" there is not a conjunct. It's just the word "that is." So what he's saying is, grace and peace will multiply to you as you begin to get a grasp and epignosis of God, knowledge of God. And knowledge of God is knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say aloud, amen.
Amen.
I've told you that in Christology is theology. Come on. In Christology, it's theology. All right, you know God in the face of Christ. In the face of Christ, you know the Holy Spirit. That's why, and then you know who you are in Christ. Amen forevermore. All right, so verse 3. Verse 3 tells us, it says, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Say, I've been called to glory. Hallelujah. And virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then verse 5, and beside this now, so he tells you that, look, you've received divine nature, eternal life. He is talking to folks who have received like precious faith. They're born again. He says, you have received life. You have received eternal life. You have received divine nature. He has told you that you are partaker of divine nature. He has told you that, listen, you've been brought to a class of the God type. He says, listen, you have been brought to be, you know, you've been brought to the fraternity of the God kind. He has told you that, listen, you are now a sharer, a communicator, a koinonia. You are in koinonia with the life of God. He has told you that you are now an associate of the God kind. You've been brought from the miry clay. You've set your feet upon the rock now. He's taking you away, all right, from the natural descent. I'm Urobo. I'm Baggy. He says he has taken you away from your natural descent when you got born again. And he has made you to become an associate of the God kind. That now you belong to the God life. You have the God life in you. So he says, no one. You've been brought to be partaker of the divine nature. He's made you realize that you are no longer humanity anymore. You are now divinity in humanity. You got born again. The life of God has been infused in you. So he now said all those beautiful stuff. Then he tells you in verse 5, he says, and beside these, aside from that now, giving all diligence. Now he tells you, you'll be received and alive. He now tells you, you are now holder of the precious faith. He now says, beside this, giving all diligence, hard to your faith. Someone say hard. He tells you to add to your faith virtue. Somebody say virtue. Don't forget, he tells us these are the things you must add. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you become fruitful, that you not be barren. Then in verse 10, don't forget, he tells us that if these things abound in you, they will make you that you will never fall. And he goes on to tell us what those things are. He says, add to your faith virtue. Someone say virtue. Come on, say it again. Say it again. I give it to you from Merriam-Webster Dictionary what virtue is. Virtue is conformity to a standard of right. Synonym, morality. A particular moral excellence. Wikipedia says virtue is a moral excellence. A virtue is a trait or quality that is deemed to be morally good and thus is valued as a foundation of principle and good moral being. In other words, it is a behavior that shows high moral standards, doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. And you know, the Bible tells us, all right, David says that, I have esteemed your word concerning all things that be right, and I hate every false way. That means God's word tells us what is the right thing. It makes no difference how the world tries to teach us what they think or how they feel it ought to be. God's word remains our standard. You know, I was studying the etymology of that word, virtue. And, you know, it amazed me that in ancient Rome, they used that word. And it's from the Latin word virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S. And it's derived from V-I-R. And V-I-R, all right, it's the Latin word for man. So when they use that word virtus, what they mean is they are referring to all the excellent qualities of a man, including physical strength, valorous, conduct and moral rectitude. Somebody say moral rectitude. Say it again. Say moral rectitude. So many Christians, through their actions many times and lack of moral rectitude, what happened is, they abort their own prophecy. So now you find situation where people say, well, I'm in faith, but this faith ain't working. Why? Because you see, they've not had to their faith virtue. I told you, you see, if faith isn't working, it is not faith. And that's why, you see, Peter has told us that if these things abound in you, they will make you that you never fall. And that you will be fruitful and never be barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If he tells you that, all right, these are the things you should add to your faith, so that you not be barren, so that you'll be fruitful. It is possible to always get better, better, and better. If there's anything I want you to get today, is this, that listen, faith is not a coping mechanism. That I'm still coping, I'm managing. How is it going, man? We are managing, we are pushing it. Or, and some people, you know, they try to adapt their language like amoeba. Trying to conform to the situation. Well, we're just managing. Listen, for how long are you going to be managing? You have to make up your mind. You have to make up your mind. That, you see, if I'm not okay with this level, if I believe there's going to be more, then I got to dig deeper. I'm going to go for gold. I'm not going to rest my oars. Are you hearing me? I'm going to go for gold until I get the mark. I'm going to get tired. I'm going to keep moving it. So faith is not a coping mechanism. Faith is a divine tool to effect a desired change. It's not a coping mechanism. You got to know this. You got to know this. You can set your quantum leap in life. Are you hearing me? You look up, everybody. Listen, you are not an object of circumstance. You don't live at the mercy of situation. You are a master of it. You have an MSc. You're a master of situation and circumstance. You can draw the graph. In 2 years, by the power of God, I'm going to move this. In so-so time, I'm going to move this. I shall be commanding so-so result at so-so time. Listen, don't build into yourself some wrong mindset of defeat that the society tried to sell to you. Believe this, brother. If your faith isn't productive, maybe these are the things that are lacking. He says, and besides this, give knowledge, add to your faith virtue. Take for instance, a man like Reuben. He just aborted God's plan for his life. He was the firstborn. He had the birthright. But guess what? He went to his father's bed. And look at what the Bible says in Genesis 49. It says, thou shalt not prosper. You know, I taught you one time, I says, three keys to success. Rap. I call it what? One of them is principles. True? You have to have a life of principle. Is that not what we read right now about virtue? Huh? Principle. Be a principled person. Stop cutting corners. Don't cut corners. I've told you, listen, if you don't train yourself to be a virtuous man, a virtuous woman, your faith cannot work. That's what Peter is saying. Your faith cannot work. You always want to look for shortcuts for everything. Guess what you're doing? You are training your mind that circumventing process is the real deal. Unfortunately, in the outside world there, circumventing process will not bring you lasting results. So you keep failing in your faith. So you wonder why your faith is not working. Because you're not virtuous. It says, add to your faith virtue. Moral excellence. That's what he's talking about. No wonder many translations actually use the word moral excellence. I give you an example. In the book of that same scripture we just read, if you read other translations, he uses the word moral excellence. Moral excellence. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 12 verse 15, you see an example there. Hebrews 12 verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defied, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. He was a man without virtue. Esau, he lacked moral rectitude. He was a profane man, the Bible says. So, you see, you know what happened to him? For a morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. He lacked virtue. Moral excellence. And verse 17 tells us, he says, look at it. 17, he says, for you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Can you see that? All right, listen. Not walking in moral excellence will cost you more than you think you are getting. These are things that makes your faith inoperative. He says, with all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. Moral excellence. Somebody say moral excellence. Say it again. I love it in the New Heart English Version. He says, yes, and for this very cause, having on your part all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Moral excellence. And in moral excellence, he says, knowledge. So another thing you need to have, number one, virtue. Number two, knowledge. Now, the word knowledge here is from the Greek word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. He's talking about knowledge gotten from mental activity. He's talking about science. He's talking about sitting down, observation. Do you know that if you sit down and you engage in productive thinking and you try to do proper permutation in your mind about sequences of events in your life, you can draw a graph and you can observe certain cycles. If they are ominous, you can stop it. If they are desirable, you can make it become a spin forever. I've noticed that. Many, do you know the problem? A lot of Christians have not really sat down to say, okay, there are certain things that you keep seeing happening again and again. Have you experienced this before? They call, in the negative, they call it deja vu. Have you seen that? All right, you just notice that, it looks like I've been here before. These are sequences of occurrences, all right? And there are several functionalities. You see, as a spirit being, let me tell you something. Do you know that the same way you have hand, you have ears in the physical. You have legs. It is so in the spirit too. You can smell things. You can see things. You can perceive things. You can love things in the physical. The same way it is in the spirit. Listen, you are essentially a spirit. All these physical things you're seeing right now, they are just a mirror of the spirit. That's why we can perceive things in the spirit. Even though in the physical, it may look totally different. Come on, are you hearing me? It's called perception of the spirit. So have knowledge. Have knowledge. He says, to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Glory to God. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 1. Proverbs 19 and verse 1. He says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Now look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is what? Come on, talk to me. It is not good. All right. My mentor, my role model in the faith, Kenneth Copeland, all right, he said something, very jokingly thing. He was preaching then. He said, hey, you women, forgive us, men. We the only thing after God created everything in the world. He looked at us and he says, I ain't no good. Amen. In other words, after he created everything, the Bible says everything was good. The only thing God looked at and said, hey guy, no good. There is no good for a man to be alone. Praise God. So anytime I see where the Bible says it is not good, I want to know what is it. Look at it. It says that a soul be without knowledge. God says, it is not good. Do you understand that? God says, it is not good. So one of the reasons why your faith is not operative is you lack knowledge. Sometimes you lack sufficient knowledge. You lack sufficient knowledge. And I'm not just talking about knowledge of chemistry and all that. I'm talking about practical knowledge. Even your theology. It must be pragmatic. I mean, to the church in Philippi, we see how Paul was so pragmatic. All right? Yes, yes. There is one knowledge that which is the cardinal knowledge that we must acquire, which is the knowledge of the death, burial, and resurrection, and consequently his ascension, glory to God forevermore. But listen, as a believer, I want to ask myself, how does the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus affect my finances? Is there a connection? Emphatically, yes. Listen, look up everybody. Bill Johnson says, any gospel that is not available and usable in the marketplace, it does not work. Any gospel that is not workable in the marketplace is not a workable gospel. So, I'm going to be doing a teaching maybe in the next 3 weeks. I'll be teaching something along that line, titled Primacy of the Workplace. You will learn how the Pentecostal Reformation, all right, Charismatic Reformation, all right, Protestant Reformation, better put, in the times of the time, Martin Luther, how it has affected the economic impact it has on age, on the ages. You have to realize this thing. Listen, any theology that is not practical is not a theology. Paul was practical in his theology, in teaching about the incarnation of God. He helps us, he uses it to teach humility in Philippians 2. He tells us, consider Jesus, that though he was co-equal with God, come on now, and yet he humbled himself. So he's teaching you incarnation, and then he's using it to teach humility. Come on. In Philippians 4, verse 2, all right, there were two beloved ones that were at loggerheads. He ensured that he taught them to make peace with one another. Look at it. Euodias and Syncoza is a beautiful name. My teeth. I beseech Euodias and I beseech. It's not my language, so don't. I think it's Syntyche. All right. That they be of. Anyway, Euodia and SSSS. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. So can you see Paul there? So you see practical theology, all right? They gave to him, and then he prayed apostolic prayer of the blessing over them for their financial support. Someone say practical theology. So even in your knowledge, you must say, where is the link? If my Sunday does not affect my Monday, then my Sunday is useless. All right, you come to church and you learn all the big things and all that, and then you can't see it. I want to come to church, and then I hear how that the death of Jesus affect how I should relate with that woman in the office. Come on, talk to me. So now I come to church and they tell me, you know what? You are dead in Christ. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. I don't stop there. So I want to know, how does being knowing that I'm dead with Christ affect how I relate with people when I enter the bus with them? Come on now. You know, he says in the book of Ephesians 4, he says that for we have put off the old man with his deeds, and we have put on the new man after the likeness of the image of him who have recreated us. Praise God. So now, how does that affect my finances? We did a teaching on Bible themes on money. You see, because sometimes your faith is not operative because you lack sufficient knowledge. Can I be honest with you? As a matter of fact, many times your problem is not faith problem. Your problem is knowledge problem. You have not gotten the full package, the knowledge, the exact, you've not gotten it. Let me give you an instance, a very good one. If the president of this country, all right, President Muhammadu Buhari, His Excellency, if he walks into this place now and he comes to you and say, we are sending 50,000 naira to your account.
Do you need faith? You just eat now, right? So that's how it's easy to believe. Now, what if one those people that are carrying plates up around shouting, "Wodoko, Wayo," those Alamanjiri, all right, comes to you and say, "Wallahi, is it maka 50,000 naira?" You just say, "Uche, uche, uche, uche," right? You even want to remove 10 naira if you have to give to him. Sit down, right? Now, but they said the same thing. What's the difference? Because you see, if you needed faith, if you needed to muster some faith from the outside to believe the first sin, it means you do not have sufficient knowledge about that man being the president of the nation called Nigeria. You don't know how much he has. Come on, talk to me. Because you could actually still behave that way if you never knew him. Come on, do you get the point? So knowledge. That's why he says that a man that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. It is not good. Knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. Hallelujah. And knowledge is practical. Let me give you an instance. Philippians 4. Let's just look at this and then we'll stop. Praise God. This is all right. Philippians 4. Are you there? In verse 1. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved, my dearly beloved." Verse 2. "I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind on the Lord." Verse 3. "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life." Hallelujah. And verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always." I told you in Bible study that we're doing a teaching on Philippians, right? I told you how that the word rejoice appeared 14 times. The verb alone, not the noun, the verb. 14 times. And this was a man who was in prison, writing to believers that they should rejoice in the Lord. The Greek word is kairos. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Verse 5. He says, "Let your moderation be what? Be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Moderation. Let it be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing." Now, you see, he didn't tell you be anxious for nothing and then he stops. He tells you, he says, I'm showing you practicality of knowledge. Look at it. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." So he tells you now that one of the, if not the greatest, I've said it here before, the greatest antidepressant is prayer. So if anxiety tries to attack you, pray. He says, and you know, the answer you will get in the place of prayer is that you just notice that the peace of God will well up from within you. If you haven't gotten peace, stay there in that prayer. Come on. It's a spiritual resource. It's a spiritual treasure. And you don't get treasure on the surface. You dig it. Until it comes out. You see, you come out from such prayer with so much peace. You just come up with peace. You pray. That's the way you expel that anxious thought. Prayer. Because it's a thought. And the plan is trying to fill your mind. And you have to know that the real battle here is in the mind. We're talking about faith. Things to add to your faith to make your faith operative, right? virtue, knowledge. You see? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That means people can't understand why you're just peaceful. All right? Shall keep your heart. Now, the word keep here, oh boy, it means guard. In fact, it's garrison. In better translation, says garrison. You know, garrison is a military term. It means a good number of soldiers that are, you know, guarding something. In fact, you know, you'll find in the Septuagint, one of the things, places you'll find it is in Proverbs 4, when it says, guard your heart with all diligence. The Greek Hebrew word is natsa. It's like, there's something we call sentry. It's like somebody who, all right, is on a border. There is a wall of border between two countries, and he's there with a gun. All right, walking like that. Walking like that with a gun. So anything that is undesired, coming close to the border, shoot to kill. That's the idea there. He says, guard. That means make your heart a semi-permeable thing. You know semi-permeable? Medium in biology. Osmosis. You remember when we were doing secondary school, right? That means it's not anything that comes in. That means sieve your mind. Sieve it with the word of God. Let the word of God be the sieve. So he tells you, he says, and the peace of God which surpasses every thought, we guard. Aha. Every thought. Can you see that? That means anxious thoughts are coming, all right, he says, go to pray. Then verse 8. Now, when he is done telling you this, you see practical knowledge here. He doesn't leave you with that theory. Then he tells you what next to do. Look at it. He now says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any moral, come on, talk to me, moral excellence, and if there be any praise, dwell on these things. In other words, think on this. Go, give it the New King James if you have it. New King James, look at it. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Good report. Somebody say good report. Some people just, they feed on any reports. If it's not good, it's not for your consumption. Good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let me tell you something. Many of you haven't realized the power of the mind. Do you know that your mind has the capability to reproduce through what we call musing? I wish I had time to talk about this. Maybe some other day. The danger of musing over bad reports, and it makes no difference. It could be bad reports of other people's life. The problem is what you're doing is you're making your mind to become a dumping ground for other people's trash. And what that's done is it recycles and potentially reproduces what you muse over. Look up, listen, your emotions don't work in isolation. And emotions are powerful. Now, your emotions, all right, they simply precipitate the content of your mind. So if you hear good stuff, you feel good. Come on. If you hear bad stuff, okay, if they come to you now and said, $1 million is your account, instantly your emotion will change. Yes, sir. Information. Something came to your mind. Come on, talk to me. So your emotions don't work in isolation. It's tied to the mind. So, now look up. So now you precipitate for yourself what you muse over. In fact, one of the synonyms is brood. What you brood over. And you know brooding, if you are into animal husbandry. Brooding, when a hen sits, all right, on eggs to incubate. Oh, your mind is powerful. Your mind is powerful. That's why anyone who has access to your mind has access to your life. And when we're teaching faith, what is faith? All right, we are telling you, we're talking about virtue and knowledge. And the end point is that we want what has been believed in your heart be in consonance with what is in your mind and is in alignment with what you are doing and what you are saying. Because if you believe right, you will think right. If you think right, you will talk right. If you talk right, you will act right. If you act right, you will live right. And if you live right, you will reach your destiny. Come on. Did you see the sequence? It's simple. It's simple. Because, for example, Reuben lost his destiny, right? Come on, he lost the blessing. Why? Because he acted right. So, why did he act right? Because he thought right. He thought wrong. I mean, because he acted wrong, right? Why did he act wrong? He thought wrong. Why did he think wrong? He probably heard wrong stuff. Maybe he was listening to Cassava Fall on Me. Maybe that was listening to them with earpod. And any all of you do not know these things. This thing, they sieve down into your subconscious. I've told you this funny story before. When I first came to Kefi, I used to go and bat my hair in Agualambo. So that particular day, while they were barbing me, they were playing a particular song. So usually for me, when I step out of the house, when I'm back, the first thing I just, when I enter, I open the door, I lift up my hand, and I just pray in tongues. So that day, I cannot forget. They are singing one song. The song is, that was the song. But I was quiet. That's why I tell, listen, look up. If you till the soil and you don't put any seed, will it still grow something?
Yes.
Huh? Come on, talk to me. It will grow something. So you can't say, I'll not just hear anything. Since Pastor said we should guard our mind, me, I will not hear any wrong stuff. I will not say any wrong stuff. I will just be clean like that. You can't be clean like that. It's not possible. You have to put something.
Yes, sir.
All right? Your mind, all right? The software that runs it are thoughts. You can't be thoughtless. You can't be mind. I want to let's be mind blank now. That's Eastern religion of demonism. So they are doing yoga, all this meditation. Go and get the tape, Art of Meditation.
Yeah.
Amen. I did a teaching on that. All right. And as I got to my room, guess what I said when I opened my room? I lifted up my hand to pray in tongues. Get what came out from my mouth? Bakuru. I said, hey. I have to stop my mouth and then pray in the right tongues. Amen. Why? Because your mind is at the mercy of... See, look up. Thought is at the mercy of sound. There's dynamics to this thing. I wish I have time to talk about this. These are things that makes your faith inoperative. So we looked at two already. So in second service, make sure you get second service tape because I'll be going deeper in this thing. There are seven of them. We'll look at another two, maybe in second service. Then next week, we'll complete it. Praise God forevermore. Were you blessed? Let's go back again. Go back to our 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. Let's see it there again. He says, for if these things be in you and abound. Oh boy, I told you. That's why I like the word of God. Never leaves me confused. Apostle Peter says, you know what? If you want your faith to be operative, if you never want to fall in life, if you want to yield result and never be unfruitful, if you want to be, you know, fruitful all your life, you want to be productive, he says, if these things be in you, in abounding measure, in greater supply, He says, they make you that you are never barren, nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when we talk about fruitfulness with knowledge of Christ, all right, it's not knowledge in the head. It's knowledge whose impact, whose fruit we can see in the physical. Can you see that? How many of you here have ever seen a mango tree talking, say, "Hi, everyone. I'm a mango tree." Does it need to talk? How do you know it's a mango tree? Huh? When you see cashew deer, will you still say it's a mango tree? So Jesus says, by their fruit. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. No vision. And some people are just so loquacious, even when you want to impart knowledge. They've been trying all they've been trying and it never worked. Okay, now listen. They don't want to listen. A lady came to me, "Hey, Pastor, in my family, this thing has happened to my uncle, happened to our aunt, happened to everybody. And the last time it happened to me, I had this dream. This thing happened again." So when she was on talking, I said, "Okay, so now do you want me to, why did you come?" And I said, "Okay, all those things, you can make a change now. When I pray with you, you'll see a change now." Say, "Ah, Pastor, you don't understand." "Eh." Okay, so I sat down. She began to talk again. Allow her talk. When she was done talking, I see a lot of, I can, in the spirit, I see the bag of air of unbelief. So strong that even if I pray, I'll be wasting my time. So I told her, I say, "Okay, you know what? Go and sit down there. All right." So I gave some 5-minute videos that I have done before. I asked for earpiece from somebody. I think it was Pastor Sandra that gave me earpiece. I can't remember that day. I just said, "Okay, all right, go and listen to that thing twice, then come back." All right, next person. So when she came, she said, she was now sighing. "Just yesterday, I still had a dream that I was swimming in the water." I said, "Are you ready for a change now?" Say, "I'm just afraid the thing will happen to me." I say, "Why are you here?" You know, some people, what they want is just pity party. Yes, it's not like they want a change. You know, my pastor told me that the first time he went to the UK to preach, Pastor Shegu, so he saw one woman on the wheelchair and he felt the anointing. He felt like letting him lay hands on the person and get up from the wheelchair. An aged woman. He prayed for the woman. He said, "Get up now, you feel the power of God." He said, "Thank you. Thank you." So the pastor was now telling my pastor later on that she doesn't want to get up because the government is giving her money for being on the wheelchair. So now you understand why Jesus walks up to a blind Bartimaeus and says, "What do you want?" You know, have you read up and you feel like, why is he asking? Because a lot of people don't actually want a change. That's why all this American gospel, "He's in you, with you when you are in the fire. He will cross the fire with you. He will be in..." Listen, faith is not coping mechanism. It's a divine tool to effect a desired change. If you don't want a change, leave faith alone. Go and sleep in hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Were you blessed? Say, "But he that lacketh these things..." And what are those things? I told you, go to verse 5. Go to verse 5, then we close. Verse 5, he says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, heart to your faith..." Oh, please, don't... Please, make sure you get second service message. I'll be talking about the word "heart" there. It's a powerful word. It has an historical context. He says, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue..." Were you blessed? Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray we'll be established in this truth and we'll bring forth fruits of righteousness, and the church will shout a big amen. Amen. Praise God.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07-8566. We celebrate you.